Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The European Union's top diplomat says that she hopes the EU will soon conclude a free trade agreement with Vietnam. Catherine Ashton says negotiations on the agreement are making good progress and that she hopes a deal could be signed before the end of the year. The EU is already Vietnam's largest export market, with shipments worth $28 billion last year. Well, today is a USDA reporting day. This morning at 11 a.m. Central Time, USDA will give us their latest projections for corn and soybean and wheat production, as well as on the WASDE side, an updated demand outlook. Here's how the trade looks at the numbers going into the report. Corn production, the average trade guess is 14.250 billion bushels with a yield of 170.2. Soybean production pegged by the trade at 3.8 1.5 billion bushels with a yield of 45.5. All wheat production at 2.015 billion bushels. Ending stocks also going to be critical as we look at old crop going into the new crop and then that how that impacts new crop ultimately. Old crop ending stocks pegged by the trade at 1.243 billion bushels and soybeans at 137 million bushels. And then ending stocks for new crop, corn 2.034 billion bushels and soybeans 406 million bushels. A quick programming announcement this afternoon at 12:39, we'll have special coverage of today's USDA crop production and WASDE reports. Joining us will be Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, trading 16,576, is up 6 points. The NASDAQ is 4,402, up almost 2. And the S&P 500 is 1938, and it is up 1 point. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the U.S. Midwest will likely experience some favorable weather as we move forward through this next full week to 10 days. There is, however, a region of dryness that's rather significant, and that dry area is inclusive of northeastern Iowa and southern Minnesota. These areas have gone without significant rain for the past couple of weeks in quite a few counties, and if you go back and look at the 30-day rainfall, it looks like a lot of this region has seen less than a half inch of moisture, and the dryness, of course, goes back even further in time across some of the region. Crop stress in the area has hurt production potential, but as we go forward through the coming week, there'll be an opportunity for some additional relief to the area. Recent rainfalls have not been great enough to cause any kind of significant relief, but the temperatures have been cooler, biased at times, and that has helped at least somewhat. We do expect scattered showers late this week going into the weekend. The precipitation will not be substantial enough to seriously change soil or crop conditions, but at least it's a little bit of moisture. As we get into the late Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday time period, the rain potentials in the region will become much higher, and perhaps we'll see a more organized rain event that would have a little bit more impact on the potential for relief for the region. Until that point in time, the rest of the U.S. Midwest will continue to experience a generally favorable weather environment, and I say that mainly because of the significant rains that have fallen here recently. Of course, last week we saw much of the southwestern Corn Belt seeing relief from its persistent season-long dryness. Areas from Nebraska into Missouri and Kansas and southwest and west central Iowa into portions of southwestern Illinois and the western portions of Kentucky all getting significant rainfall. And of course, last night we saw some significant rainfall across portions of eastern Michigan and portions of eastern and northern Ohio, and that has shrunk down the area of dryness quite a bit. But we are still concerned about those areas in Indiana and central Illinois and portions of northeastern Iowa and southern Minnesota where there is still a very definite need for rain, and the sooner the better. We do expect crop stress chances to continue in these areas until those scattered showers began this weekend. The temperatures across the Midwest are going to continue to be a little bit cooler than usual. In fact, a lot cooler than usual here today. We expect only upper 60 and 70 degree highs to occur across the region. Normal temperatures this time of the year should be in the 80s across the majority of the region, with some cooler weather across the Great Lakes region. We'll expect temperatures to rebound as we move forward through the end of the week and into the weekend, with temperatures becoming much more seasonable across most of the Midwest. That means temperatures will be back into the 80s. Even some lower 90s will be possible in the southwestern portions of the Corn Belt. And we do expect to see the low temperatures at night to run mostly in the 50s and lower 60s here over the next night or two. And then we'll rebound those temperatures back into 60s and perhaps some lower 70s eventually as we get into the weekend and on into next week. In other U.S. and North American crop areas, I think we are looking at generally favorable conditions as well. It is a little dry in portions of southern Georgia and neighboring areas in northern Florida, and they need significant rainfall there. Southern U.S. plains are in need of some additional rainfall as well. And there's some areas in the northern, or I should say northwestern U.S. plains and portions of Canada's prairies that are a little dry as well. But it's getting to be that time of the year that dryness will actually be more of a benefit than a detriment for crop development. And we'll continue to monitor those areas. In the meantime, one last stop. In Australia, we do expect to see widespread rain occur Thursday into Saturday of this week. This will be the biggest rain event in that particular region of Queensland and northern New South Wales, seen all season long. And we should see a significant improvement in soil moisture and potential crop development as their reproductive season comes up soon for wheat, barley, and canola. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter, September wheat is 616, down 7 and 3 quarters. December, 629, down 8. Soft September wheat, 537 and a half, down 9. December, 551 and a half, down 11 and a quarter. September corn, 353 and a half, down 3 and a quarter. December, 363 and 3 quarters, down 4 and a quarter, now 4 and 3 quarters. March, 376 and a half, down 4 and 3 quarters. July, 391 and 3 quarters, down 4 and a quarter. August soybeans, 1305 and a half, down 9 and a quarter. September, 1102 and a half, down 6. November, 1069, down 4 and a quarter. January is 1077 and a half, down 4 and a quarter. August soybean meal, 402.10, up 170. August soybean oil, 34.87, down a penny. August live cattle, 151.82 and a half, down 80. August feeders, 216.87 and a half, down 60. And August lean hogs, 114.12 and a half, down 42 and a half. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart, Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
So it seems like the plan today is sell it and then hope for a bounce at 11 and then sell it again.
Well, I know there's outfits out there saying sell it on a bounce of 20 to 25 higher, which if the yields aren't high enough, funds will cover shorts and make it bounce some. Question is, will it bounce that much? But there's all kind of people ready to sell a bounce thinking that whatever the yield is this time, it'll be higher next time.
Does the USDA on this report kind of find themselves in a no-win position in that if they take a small swing at it, nobody's going to believe them. And if they get to about the trade guesses, immediately the trade's going to go way bigger.
Yeah, it's supposedly years ago they didn't even have this report, and they were forced to do it. Really, how do you tell what the yield's going to be now, especially on beans? Mm-hmm. On corn, you can count kernels, you can count ears, but how much of that's going to fill, how much of it's going to back off from the ends, and so it's not very good there either, but it's a lot better than the beans. And you know, will they raise it that much? Who knows? They're pretty conservative in moving yields, so they might move it some this time and then some more. If it's not enough this time, industry will immediately say, oh, they'll move it more next time. If they do count all these second ears, mm-hmm. you know, that supposedly is what they're doing, that could really boom the yields up. And, I mean, there's some private individuals and companies out there talking 175 to 180 for yields, not the 170 average.
What will Wisely likely do? Do you think they'll make any demand-side revisions, and if so, where?
I really don't know what they'll do there either, and that's the thing. That's why it's an unknown. If we all knew, we'd be placed just where we need to be, and no one really knows what they'll say as far as moving, you know, usage, moving yields, moving what we'll have left. But, you know, going from a 750 to a 2 to 3 billion corn, going from a, what was beans last year, 125 to a 400 to 500, you know, and these are estimates before you can really tell for sure.
Especially in the soybeans.
Especially in the soybeans.
What is wheat's role today, if any?
Wheat's a follower of corn. They're finding they could raise the Russian wheat crop a bunch, the world wheat crop a bunch. It's not known what they'll do there, but if they do that, that would help push wheat down.
Thank you, Pete.
Have a great one.
Pete Manhart debates commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. September corn, 352.5, down 4.25. December, 362.75, down 5.5. August soybeans, 13.05, down 9.75. September, 11.03.75, down 4.75. And November, at 10.69.75, is down 3.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.